the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 don't speak for anybody. Nobody except ourselves.
None of them?
None of them. No A's.
No Anons.
No Anons. Nobody. I mean, we don't speak for A-A-N-A-O-A-C-A-G-A-P-L-L-S-L-A-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L- eyes. And as you can tell, we don't even speak well for ourselves, as evidenced by my intro.
That was just you.
Yeah.
So lump us in with you.
So what?
Don't lump us in with you.
Lumpo? Don't lump us with.
Lump us.
Lump us.
Or lump us.
Oompa loompas.
Oompa loompa dumpa dee dum. She didn't come
I've got
in.
A special puzzle for you.
Sweet. Welcome, Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, yeah.
If I needed a meeting, what should I be doing?
Turn up the frickin' volume.
Okay, good. What else we got?
I don't think so.
Well, what do you think?
I think that you should put on your little shoesies and catch a bus or walk or call your sponsor for a ride or take a car or whatever you got to do, but get to a meeting.
And what if you fired your sponsor?
Well, then you got to call a friend.
What if you live in an area where there's just not a bunch of meetings?
There are online meetings.
We're online.
But we're not a meeting.
So online meetings run 24/7?
No, if you go to aaonline.net, there are meetings at specified times. But there are meetings
what
every
if it's,
day.
What if it's in between that time?
Listen to us.
That's really sad.
Yeah, what if it's in between that time?
Listen to us.
You could read your big book.
Listen to us.
Yeah, I vote with Mark. Listen to us.
We'll get you through anything.
You can open your big book up and lay it on the table to make it look like you're studying big book, but you can listen to us.
We could just be the next indicative step.
That's right.
That's just sad.
Oh, and you know what? Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
You were late.
I was.
In Los Angeles, at LAX, a Transportation Security Administration, that's the our lovely TSA, doing for what, us what we usually do for ourselves.
Touching us in fun places?
Uh-huh. Has been arrested for stealing from a traveler's suitcase.
The gallows. I demand the gallows.
Ryan Driscoll. Was arrested May 10th on a felony theft charge. It was very unclear on what he actually took, but it's got to be big if it's a felony theft.
He was railroaded.
It's got to be over, like,
at the airport.
$700 or something?
I don't know.
I thought it was $500.
I don't know.
I'm going to say, he stole my cocaine.
I think if you do anything wrong at the airport, it's a felony.
Sweet.
The U.S. government, this is in Seattle.
The U.S. government was in the entire United States.
Yeah, it's already good.
The U.S. government is suing Starbucks Coffee Company for firing a barista in El Paso just because she is a dwarf.
Okay, wait a minute.
Well, they hired her.
They hired her.
And she was a dwarf.
Yes, and 3 days later they fired her.
Because she couldn't do the job.
No, because she asked for a stool to stand on. And they refused.
OSHA.
She didn't ask for a stool before they hired her.
OSHA.
They have to, according to law, they have to accommodate reasonable employee requests.
A stool behind the counter, I don't think, is a reasonable request.
It's not really a stool, but the Starbucks bar place they have, when they're stocking the stuff that's up high, they bring out some kind of little mini ladder type thing. But I can see, the thing that I would say is standing on a stool, depending on, especially on what you're doing. Like standing on a stool to like work with boiling hot milk, maybe not the best idea. Would you let your kid at home do it?
I don't know why they're making such a big thing about such a small matter.
Oh,
you can send your mail to Mark.
Wow. I knew that'd have to be coming sometime.
I tried to hold back.
So, yikes. Yeah, but the thing is, they said they fired her because
she was a dwarf. Yes.
Was the reason for termination? We fired you because you're too short?
Yes.
They actually put that down, huh?
Well, no, that's in the story, but I don't know that they said that.
Yeah, I'll bet they did. Unable to perform your function or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'd give her a stool but put it 3 feet back.
There could be more to that story, and there probably will be. However, if her name's Bridget, there's another profession she could get into.
Bridget the midget?
Bridget the midget. But this one's a dwarf.
You brought the story up. You should have known better.
With some guys like us.
Okay. A group of researchers in Sweden...
In Sweden,
have found that gastric bypass weight loss surgery raises the odds for alcohol abuse afterwards.
Really?
They tracked 123,000 patients and found there was a greater risk of hospitalization due to depression, attempted suicide, substance abuse, and alcoholism following weight loss surgery.
Really?
Yes.
Is this if it was unsuccessful?
I guess I won't have it then.
Now, it hasn't gone before peer review. The story has been published, but it hasn't gone before peer review yet, so the findings are not considered conclusive.
That's because the guys that do weight loss surgery just put together a big consensus of people to go up against it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean it causes alcoholism?
Yeah. Oban's mounting of defense right now.
Yeah, what do they call the guys, the political activists that go around and... And
the lobbyists?
Lobbyists, yeah. They're lobbying hard against that right now. They're going to put it under peer review, and everyone that does the peer review will be the people that also do weight loss surgeries.
First of all, they did the thing in Sweden, right?
Yes.
Where everybody's like 6 foot tall and 170 pounds.
Yeah.
And all the women are like 5 foot four and 120.
Yeah.
So they did a weight gain, weight loss thing there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that seems like a lot of waste of real estate.
Perfect.
In Glendora.
I know where that's at.
I know where that's at, too.
We've got another Starbucks story.
Well, and there's only a couple Starbucks it could be.
It's the one up on Route 66.
Okay.
Well, which one?
Oh, yeah, I know which one.
I don't know which one.
Well, there's one right there near the college, and there's one way down at Lone Hill.
What's the story?
Police arrested a man accused of secretly videotaping more than 40 women using the restroom at the Glendora Starbucks.
It's the one by the college.
No, it's not.
Really?
That one's actually in Azusa. Starbucks.
Oh. Are you sure? Because Citrus College is Glendora.
No, I'm telling
you. And Citrus College is right next to that parking lot.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
William Zafra Velasco is an unemployed student and resident of San Dimas.
There we go, San Dimas.
What he did was he disguised a plastic coat hook, a little tiny camera, as a plastic coat hook and stuck it up on the wall across from the toilet and then downloaded the videos to his computer while he was sitting in his car.
How did they catch him?
An employee discovered the device and called the police.
I know, but how did they catch the guy? I mean, yeah, he's downloading it like obviously it's coming over... I mean, I'm wondering how they targeted the guy, actually.
It doesn't say. It just says detectives confiscated his laptop and said they found disturbing video of at least 45 female victims, including children.
Oh.
Using the restroom.
Well, I think that probably what it was is, I wouldn't go right off calling the guy a pedophile or something. I think it probably shoots a video of everyone that's in there no matter what.
Well, yeah.
And he's probably sorting through there to find. I've never understood the whole restroom cam thing anyway.
Not something I really want to watch.
Yeah, toilet cam. Why?
Yeah. The dressing room at Nordstrom.
Yeah, dressing room, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm not
dressing
saying
room at Victoria's Secret.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying, you know, but the toilet cam, it's kind of like the things where someone goes, "Show me your feet, baby," and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm just not about the feet thing.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. It's yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Moving on.
What else you got, Shell?
Amtrak. A woman was escorted off an Amtrak train by police this weekend after she allegedly refused to stop talking loudly on her cell phone while she was in a quiet car.
Yay.
What the hell's a quiet car?
It's a car where you're not allowed to talk on your cell phone.
Yay.
Like, you're supposed to be quiet so people can read or do work or whatever. She talked for 16 hours on a route between Oakland and
whose battery lasts that long?
I was going to say, that's a damn good battery right there. Well, you know what? I think Amtrak and all the planes are talking about it now where you can plug in your phone. Like, they've got multiple plugs that you can plug your phone into that charges it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'd think that they wouldn't have one of those in the quiet car.
Why not? If people want to use their laptops, that's quiet.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I don't care if it's a quiet car or what. People who are loudly talking on their cell phones in any confined space, I just applaud whenever they have something happen to them.
Sometimes it's not even a confined space. Yeah. I had someone in my store the other day talking quite loudly on his cell phone. You would have thought he was on stage doing it for people.
You would have thought he had the can and the string, huh? He was yelling to make himself heard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And everybody heard. Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let me change the page here.
Three guesses. First two don't count.
What time is it? Okay, good.
Yeah, we are.
In Huntington Beach, California, got a lot of California stories today.
Right up the road.
Two teenagers' bodies were found in a vacant apartment. They died of an accidental overdose.
That's not good.
They had methadone, alprazolam, hydroxyprazolam, and Four Loko cans were found near them.
That's sad.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah. That's really sad.
My guess is the methadone.
Let's take a moment. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sad story.
Wasn't me.
No.
I'm still here.
The next story. Now, this is complicated.
Okay.
And I have to get this right.
Those medications and this one's complicated?
Yes.
Okay.
This one is complicated and I have to get it right because it's really, this is a really good night. Okay. He was found with, let's see, disposable razors, a bottle of Drakkar Noir cologne, a bottle of Adidas cologne, skin cleanser, and two pickled sausages. He had looted that from the home that he had broken into, then climbed into bed with the woman that lived there. Her son actually lives in the house, too. When he found the man sleeping in the bed with his woman, realized that the man was extremely drunk, he and his mother escorted him from the home. Now, he was also covered in blood.
Okay.
They called the police. The man kept claiming he was inside Woody's house. The residents, they got him out of the house. They called the police. The police couldn't find him at first. 2 hours later, he was found in another home. He stole three cupcakes and fell asleep on the couch. His pants were wet where he had peed himself in the front. He had black smears on his hands and face, and he had eaten the ashes out of his hookah pipe.
How much PCP is involved in this one?
Well, let me get to the list of drugs.
Okay.
Oh, here come the list.
Now we have the toxicology results.
There was marijuana, hydrocodone.
Wow.
Oh, that's it. Just marijuana and hydrocodone.
Well, hydrocodone's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was an incredibly good night.
Isn't
My
hydrocodone
goodness.
The actual thing for Oxycontin?
No, it's Vicodin.
It's oxycodone. Oh. Hydrocodone is Vicodin.
Oh.
A lot of it, though.
Yeah, he probably had a lot of it.
I was going to say, because, you know, Vicodin? Yeah, now I'm thinking lightweight.
But it doesn't say in the story how he got all bloody. That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah.
And why the pickled sausages?
And why would you be eating your ashes out of your hookah? I mean, Vicodin...
Because you didn't like the taste of the pickled sausages.
Yeah, Vicodin is... All right. You know, I don't know. I was thinking for sure like PCP or acid or mushrooms or something. Something that creates effects.
No, apparently not. Let's see. In Two Rivers. Oh, this is a really good feat. I'm not exactly sure how she managed this. What was it Robert said when he sent me the story? He said, ta-da! In Two Rivers, I believe this is, it's near Green Bay.
Wisconsin?
So, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin!
Nicole Lavin got drunk, sped in her car. She was traveling northbound at a high rate of speed. She was swerving in and out of traffic. She lost control of her car. The vehicle struck the median, went airborne, crossed the southbound lane, rolled four times, landed in the front yard of a home. She was ejected from the car and landed on the house's garage and walked away.
Nice.
Vehicular ping or
pinball?
Pinball.
Pinball, yes. Ta-da!
You know what? I got to tell you, I had a friend named Tom, a guy I used to do all my getting loaded with in Oregon. And we were driving in his Jeep. And we were in the far right lane. And Tom decided that he's going to floor it and make a left-hand turn. So when the lights all turn green, he floors it. He goes from the far right lane, passes all the cars, the oncoming cars and everything, gets sideways in the Jeep. As he's trying to bring it back around, he goes up over the curb, of which all four wheels bounce up in the air. We go over a planter, and we land in a parking space. I am mortified. I'm, like, glued to my chair, like, oh, my God. Tom hops out of the car like that's what he meant to do. And all the chicks are like, that was awesome. And Tom's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, going, dude, I'd see him later. I'm like, dude, don't you ever freaking do that again. He goes, dude, I can't believe we lived. I'm like, dude, you made it look like you were trying to do that. And he goes, yeah, well, it looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked good.
Okay, I just have one more. Okay, we've all heard of the marijuana-laced brownie.
Of course.
I think I've eaten the marijuana-laced
brownie. Well, now there's
brownie.
A new kind of brownie that is giving the feds fits.
Fed fits.
They're called Larry Lazy Cakes. They're not hash brownies. They're melatonin-laced brownies, and they're called relaxation desserts, and they're sold in stores like 7-Eleven and Walgreens.
Okay, now, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, what melatonin is now a problem?
Because if you eat too many of them, you pass out.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you eat too much turkey at Thanksgiving, you pass out, too.
If you're stuck on stupid, you get what you have coming to you.
Well, they're saying that people could eat one too many of these and get in their car and drive and hurt somebody.
If you're eating melatonin and driving, you're not too bright to begin with.
I mean, that's like saying that if you're eating turkey and after Thanksgiving dinner you drive, you could be tired too. And isn't that why Grandpa always falls asleep in the chair?
That's it.
I'm just telling you why the feds have got their panties in a twist.
They got their panties in a bunch?
Yes.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm joke for that, but I'm not going to say it either.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
I just came back from getting the government's panties unbunched.
Wow, that must have been a hell of a pull.
Yeah, it was. Sweet. So, Shelly, what's our topic? Wow, Shelly is... She's got the look.
Wait, we'll tell Shelly the topic that she can tell us what it is. It's the 10th step.
Oh, no. I was just going to say the 10th step.
The 10th step, okay. Which is?
10th step.
Continue to take a personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it.
Yay!
Promptly.
You didn't have to start at the beginning.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know. My brain came unglued.
Okay. So, Shelly?
Yes?
How do you do that? How do you work that? What's that mean to you?
Most of the time, I recognize they've done something stupid, or I've hurt somebody, or I know I've done something wrong, and I call them up, or I go to them, and I say, I'm sorry, you know, or I try to make it right, or do the right thing. Sometimes I get into a situation where I get that horrible, icky feeling, where I'm not comfortable in my own skin, and I've had an altercation with somebody, or something's happened, and I know there's something wrong. So I have to call my sponsor, and she usually either we go through a tenth step over the phone, or I write one out. What, he shrinks all of a sudden?
And how does that make you feel?
Well, better afterwards, because then I know what to do.
Does it ever strike anyone strange that 10th step is supposed to be the way we keep from really needing to do another inventory? Does it ever strike anyone strange, people that will talk about doing, I've done 5 or 6 inventories, I'm thinking, if you really work a really good 10th step, why are you having multiple inventories in recovery?
Yep.
That just occurred to me. I've written multiple inventories, but because I've had multiple sobrieties. And there have been times where I've gone over things in inventory from my inventory with guys when I'm working with them on their inventory. And I'm not saying I do this perfect all the time, but 10th step, you're supposed to, like, as soon as possible, go back to whoever you screwed over for whatever reason and make that right. And if you're really doing that, who accumulates enough of that to write multiple inventories? I'm just saying. How many inventories have you written, Mark?
3.
Why?
Why what?
Why'd you have 3?
Because I did the first one in about 9 months.
Well, I know what the first one was, yeah.
So I did another one in about 2 years.
Well, and that was catching a lot of the stuff that you didn't 10th step the first time because...
Well, yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. And then I did one when I was going through my divorce.
You were probably developing stuff you weren't letting go of every day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, but that's it. So I did my last one 18 years ago.
Yeah. Now, how good are you at your daily inventory?
I do a 10 step on a nightly basis. That's really, you know, it's really funny because when you go through working the steps, I've always, my feeling is you work the first step to get sober.
Yes.
You work the 10th step to get normal.
Yeah.
Because it's not about, you know, the physical sobriety anymore, but it's about to stay, keep your emotions clean and sober.
Yeah, and your side of the street clean.
Yeah, it's very important to me. I mean, it's something... On a nightly basis, I'm not going to tell you I've done it every single night, but on a nightly basis, it's something I do before I go to bed. I take that inventory and I look and I go, what do I need to go clean up tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's page 86 of the big book.
Which says?
It says, upon retiring, we see where we have done something wrong. We take an inventory of the day. Where were we selfish? Where were we unkind? Where were we... where do we need to make amends, basically?
Okay, I didn't know what page it was on, but yeah.
I used to have to read, it used to be a nightly thing for me. I mean, I would have to read page 86 every night and then make a list.
I'm fortunate with the amount of time that I've had in recovery. I just don't do anything that requires any review anymore. You know what? A lot of times
some are sicker than others.
Yeah. A lot of times I don't have it at the end of the day because, and I don't know, you guys may agree with this or may not, but I'll tell you what, usually if I've done something, it becomes apparent to me
right away.
Right. Now, I am not always the fastest on jumping right on it because I've had things certainly with Shelley and I and stuff where I may have taken a few days or a week to come back on something, but I usually try and do it. There's usually some time, I can't say as I always do it exactly that day, but I try not to let it build up for too long. And sometimes it's a matter of, depending on how sensitive the issue is, finding the right time to broach the subject.
Yeah. Well, if it's...
Because Shelley, she'll cut me down. She'll cut me to ribbons. You guys don't know what she's like when she's not on the air. She got a cat of nine tails.
If the same thing's on your 10th step two or three nights in a row.
Well.
You better handle it before it comes to need to do a 4-step.
Yeah, or before someone else handles it for you.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Now, Charlie, you haven't had anybody that you've had to get in to doing 10 steps, right?
No, not yet.
Mark, what do you do with your sponsees? How do you explain it to them?
Just the way I laid it out. I mean, it's, you know, you, at the end of the day, you take a look at your day. You know, who'd I screw? How'd I screw them? How do I clean it up?
Sounds like a porn movie.
Yeah. So, you know, and you go and clean it up because it's that important.
It is.
You know, and, you don't have to keep it a secret. It's not your deal. Just go clean it up and move forward. Because it really does, you know, it's reaching a point of this program, you know, is it designed for living your life. And I just think it's easier for us to live our lives in recovery when we don't hang on to stuff that was part of our problem in the first place. We didn't know what to do with the stuff, so we medicated ourselves.
True.
So now we don't hang
on
to it.
Or we stuffed. Or we medicated and stuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I've talked with guys about doing 10-step, I know that at least in AA, the big book says wait till the end of the day. I've told guys many times, you know what, if you've done something to someone and you realize it right at that moment,
oh, sure.
There's no better time. Even waiting till nighttime, mm-hmm. Maybe not good, because then you probably won't make the amends until the next day.
Well, let me clarify that. Yeah, as you go through the day,
yeah.
You do it. At the end of the day, you review and see if there's anything you missed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, obviously, you do something, clean it up. Right then, right there. Don't have to carry it around the rest of the day. Don't have to rethink it, you know. Just.
Yeah, because not only are you carrying it around the rest of the day, you're maybe making someone else carry it around the rest of the day needlessly, you know. And even though I don't really care as much about them, it's like if I'm carrying it around and it's bugging me, it's kind of like the thing with the, you know, we talked about before with 9-step and all, you know, it's like, if it's bothering me that much, I want to get rid of it as soon as I can because it's bothering me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's something that we learn with time.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a sponsee today, and he was going through, you know, just being resistant. And right now he's working the first 3 steps every day. You know, and I'm like, you know, you got to work your way through the steps. But if you're not doing the first 3 every day, you're not ready to do anything else yet. You know, and it's just.
True.
There's such a, I don't know where I get a feeling of such resistance in this program now to work in the steps that didn't used to be there.
Yeah.
We were talking about that on one of the boards today, on one of the discussion boards, is that, and one guy said that the problem is that you've got a lot of people that are not, you got a lot of people in the program that aren't.
Ready?
Not necessarily ready so much as they're not, what it talks about the 4 classifications of alcoholics in the big book, and.
They're not any of them.
We get
not,
a lot of number twos.
We get a lot of number ones and number twos now that.
Yeah.
Can just not drink and everything is fine, and then they go to meetings and they don't see the reason to do any of the steps because everything is fine.
We've had that discussion on this show many times.
Yeah.
That the bottom
raising
has been
the bottom
raised.
To the point where it's not tenable anymore.
Yeah, no. And depending on when you catch me, I'm for sure, at least with alcohol, and you know me, I'm more of a drug guy than an alcohol guy. However, when I was drinking, I was like a type 3 or type 4 alcoholic. You know, the only reason for me to drink was to get just jacked up.
Yeah.
You know, I think Gretchen Wilson wrote a song about
was
it.
Was I
all
an alcoholic?
Up.
I don't know. I drank alcoholically.
Yeah. Yeah. Shelley, what would your final words on this subject be?
Well, you might as well just go ahead and make the amends because you're going to carry it around if you don't. How long do you want to sit in it? You can be as miserable as you want to be.
Mark?
Yes?
Last words? Famous last words?
Once the promise to start working your life, don't go backwards.
And they should be starting to work about halfway through your night.
Yeah, so...
Oh, here's a question I should ask both of you guys, and we got
okay,
a minute.
Go ahead.
Do you have to finish step 9 before you start step 10?
I don't think for many people that that's possible.
No.
Good. I just wanted to make sure I was on the right path. Because, yeah.
The road less traveled.
Yeah. My final words would be as well. You know what? If you can do that 10th step the moment you realize that you need to do it, that's the best time. Certainly try and do it within a day or so, you know. And I am in agreement with you two. While you start making your amends could very well take a very, very long time. And you can't stop, you know, 10, 11, and 12 while you're waiting to get those done.
Yep.
Because I'm not done with mine simply because there's people I have not been able to find. And I could do that whole thing. Oh, I'll write them a letter and I'll read it. I'll stick it in a mailbox and send it off to them. Facebook has allowed me to find many more. So the 9th step continues to go even though I do 10, 11, and 12. Mark.
Bruce.
Do you have any email addresses?
We do. You can email us at recovery_101@hotmail.com. recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And recovery101radio@gmail.com.
There's gmail.com.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's gmail.com.
.com. .net.
Recovery101.net.
.org.
.org. Asm. By the way.
Yes.
Official eye roll.
We have friends online at intherooms.com.
.com.
.com.
It's absolutely free. It's kind of a Facebook of recovery. You know, you can put pictures up there. You can download speaker tapes. You can go to meetings. You can do chat. You can post on each other's boards. There's events that happen around the world. It's all for free and for fun.
Kind of sort of just like it, but not really.
Yeah. Shelly, do we have any friends back east?
That would be Bruce, the other white meat.
Go ahead.
I just kept going. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We'll shut our mics off.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It's Bruce.
The other white meat.
There we go. At 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go and read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post.
Sweet.
And if you would like to look into franchise opportunities, you can get in touch with him. He will give you the information that you need to get the 12-Step Gazette set up in your own little burg.
A franchise. Has anyone heard of... Well, last time there was flooding, Titan Stadium flooded. And now there's been a lot of flooding. Do we know?
She hasn't said anything or mentioned anything, and she's on a regular work schedule, so yeah. I would say no.
Okay. Not that area.
Yeah, she's in Nashville.
Okay, because, man, that last time it flooded
yeah,
good.
They had some serious floods in Nashville.
Okay, well, to all the people that are having problems with floods, you know, we'll pray for you.
Paddle.
Yeah. Videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
Schmark.
Schwat.
Who's the lead-out music by?
Kurt Cobain.
Ooh. Now.
Nirvana.
Nirvana. Sweet. Everyone, try and leave it. Did you see how quick Mark is with that? I'm just telling you. He just said the first thing that came up in his mind. Kurt Cobain. You know, from that band.
Yeah.
You know, those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
The grunge guys.
The grunge guys.
Who was with that girl, you know, the grunge girl.
Yeah, the really grungy girl. Wow. You know what? With a name like Courtney Love, she sounds like she'd be this just sweet apple pie thing.
Not so much.
No. What was her band? Hole. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Oy vey.